Let's go to Luke chapter 13, verse 6 through 8. Luke chapter 13, verse 6 through 8 in the Message. It will not probably read this way in your Bible unless you have the Message translation. But it says, then he told them a story. Jesus talked a lot in parables. A man had an apple tree planted in his front yard. He came to it expecting to find apples, but there weren't any. He said to his gardener, what's going on here? For 3 years now, I've come to this tree expecting apples. Not one apple have I found. Chop it down. Why waste good ground with it any longer? But the gardener said, let's give it another year, boss. He wasn't a boss. He was just saying, let's give it another year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it, and maybe it'll produce next year. If it doesn't, then chop it down. Am I on this one? I want to speak just for a few minutes this morning, and really a few minutes. We still got a couple other things to do. Thank you, God, for another year. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you, God, for another year. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Y'all stay put, boys. We're going to ride out of here. You know what that means. Excuse me. I don't know how you see church. And just after 2 decades of Tyler Perry church movies, I think they're coming out with a parody on that. Not another church movie. Like they did Not Another Scary Movie. The church, specifically the black church, has image problems. So some people see it as cartoonish. Some people see church as a place to network with people. Place to come, maybe, potentially meet a future mate. Nothing wrong with that. Social gathering to have a family-like atmosphere. I can get with that. Place to bring your children and the youth so you can raise them up right. I agree with that. Place so I can get married, my babies can get christened, and my dead body can be buried. But I believe God sees his church a lot differently than most people see it. And I'm not going to say we, because I think I've adopted how God sees it. God sees his church differently. He sees his church as a business. Everybody say a business. You start looking at church like that, and I don't mean from a secular standpoint of business and excellence, and we, you know, herd them in, herd them out. It's not personable. Nobody knows your name. Nobody cares if you come. Nobody cares if you miss it. I'm not talking about that type of business. But I'll let the word of God speak for itself. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Jesus went missing, and he said to his parents, how is it that you're seeking me? Did not you know that I must be about my father's hobby? My father's pastime? My father's, if we don't have nothing else to do, then let's go to church? No. He said, I must be about my father's what? Business. Everybody say business. Acts chapter 6, verse 34, verse 3 through 4, the apostles were being bogged down with all of the business of the church, and they couldn't pray, and they couldn't get into the word, so they chose some deacons, and they said, wherefore, brother, look out from among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that who we may appoint over this what? Business. God sees his stuff as a business. Do y'all see that? I believe the biggest problem with most people, most Christians, when it comes to God, is they don't really understand God. They don't understand God. They don't understand his ways. Now, God loves us, and I think that's being preached. Everybody knows God loves us. He loves us all, for God so loved the world. He loved everybody. He sent his whole only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yes, God loves us. God gave his Son for us. For those of us that believe on the name of Jesus Christ and have been born again, he saved us. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because he loves you. He loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Now, the difference in our church is that we make a difference in people. Everybody's not at the same level. If you are part of our congregation and our committed group, you've taken an assessment. There are only four stages of growth in the Christian church. It's like going to a public school and saying everybody's on the same level. Is everybody on the same level in the public school? What about an elementary? No, you got pre-K, you got kindergarten, you got fifth grade. You got those that are in honors classes. You got those that are in special ed. You got those that are in remediation. It's the same thing in the church. But the Bible specifically specifies four levels of Christians. Either you are a babe in Christ, you just got saved. You're a child in Christ. That's the next maturity level. After being a babe, you become a young adult, or you become what the Bible calls a parent. You become spiritually responsible for somebody else, giving their life to Christ and growing in Christ. Now, when you are a babe, and I'm talking about, you know, the Bible says by this time, you ought to have been teachers. By this time, you ought to have been a young adult. Jesus knows, God knows by what time. Somebody say amen. 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 I did not mind changing my son's pamper when he was 6 months old. I didn't mind changing his pamper when he was a year old. I didn't mind changing his pamper when he was a year and a half old. When did he get potty trained? Yeah. Shoot, man. Four years old? I'm not changing no diapers. How old are you now? 28? 28 years old? Unless something is terribly wrong. Somebody say amen. Amen. So when you are a babe and are supposed to be a babe, you know what God does for you? He coddles you. He loves you. You keep poo-pooing your diaper. You keep making mistakes. God just forgives you. He loves you. He doesn't hold it against you. He keeps on blessing you. And see, that's the preaching we're getting, as if everybody's a babe. Everybody not a babe. Somebody say. Because God's running a business here. Somebody say amen. So as a babe, he coddles little babes. He loves little babes and children. God does. I mean, Curtis, he got all them blessings. But Curtis ain't been living all the way right. He just got saved. Is that true? But in the midst of his struggle, in the midst of everything, he's still getting all them kind of blessings because he's a babe. And God loves them little babies. And he loves the little spiritual children. Somebody say amen. If you've been saved since 95, you're not a babe. Somebody say amen. Amen. You've been saved since 2005, you're not a babe. Somebody say amen. Amen. So he coddles the babes. He loves them. He looks over a lot of stuff. Somebody say amen. Amen. He does. That's why when babes come to church, I say, y'all leave them alone. But they got this in it. And they got tongue rings. And they got this and that. And they got gauges and all that. I say, leave them alone. Did you have gauges, Curtis? Yeah, had gauges. I'm preaching, just agree with me. Yeah, he had gauges. But we left them alone. Like, you know gauges? When your ears go that big. Yeah, we left them alone, though. All kind of color in his hair, left them alone. Hey, y'all, he was a babe. The problem with church folk, they want to clean the fish before they catch the fish. We don't do that. Somebody say amen. We go ahead and catch the fish. And while you obey, and see, y'all, Now, he got all them testimonies. You know, it's some people here that's been saying a long time, they ain't have a lot of testimonies like that. Do you know why? Because God not dealing with them like a babe no more. Hello? God dealing with them like I deal with my 28-year-old son who don't live with me no more. But yo, you go to the bathroom, you wipe your own bottom. Come on, somebody. I'm not laying you on my lap to pray for you no more. Come on, somebody. Now you got some responsibility. I can't hear nobody up in here. And you don't want to say amen because you're sitting there a Christian and you don't want no responsibility. But God treats you in that way when he knows that by now you should have responsibility. He loves the spiritually young and is still merciful and gracious to them. But when you move to the level 3 and 4, young adult and parenthood, God requires that you produce. That's why I'm saying today, this is my message. Lord, thank you for one more year. Y'all saw the parable? The only came and said, hey man, where is the fruit from this tree? I've been waiting for 3 years. Some of y'all, God's been waiting for 10 years. He's been waiting for 15 years. He wants to see the fruit. You say you're a Christian. Where is the fruit? Back in the 80s and the 90s, there was a commercial. You know, Wendy's came out. Where's the beef? Where's the beef? He's saying, where is the fruit? And y'all, I really believe if my life became useless, if I became a scandalous pastor, start trying to sleep with all the girls and not all the boys and stealing all the money, if I became useless, I think God would cut my life down because at that point, I'm not producing any fruit and I become useless to the kingdom of God. Are you useless? You answer that question. Can I give you another scripture? John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. I thought this was a celebration, anniversary. It is. I'm celebrating God for thank you for giving me in spite of myself, in spite of my shortcomings, in spite of all the things I didn't do. Thank you for giving me one more year. Listen to what Jesus said. I am the vine, and my Father's the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. I want you to see this. We see people dropping dead, dying before their time. He said, if you claim Christ, if you claim to be with Christ, for Christ, and a Christian, I'm not talking to those of y'all who haven't decided, I'm not talking to people who are not Christian, not talking to people who are not born again, but if you claim Christ, he said, I'm the vine and my Father's the husbandman, and every branch in me that bears not fruit, he cuts it off. Whew. Sound like a business to me. Every branch that bear fruit, he purges it that it may bear what? More fruit. Everybody say, thank you, God. For another year. Oh, Jesus. He talks to the churches in Revelation. Not like the sweet little Jesus in the manger, sweet little cuddly Jesus. No, no, no. Now, listen to what he says to one church. He said, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcome, I will give to him them to eat the tree of life. Well, listen. And then he goes on and tells them, he said, but if you don't change, I will blow out your candlestick. And we're going to talk about that Wednesday night. I hope everybody can tune in or come back. But you ought to know how to lengthen your life or how to shorten you. You ought to want to know how you can lengthen your life or how you can shorten your life. I know I wouldn't want to know. And the Bible says you can die before your time. The Bible says you can only live out half of your life depending on the choices that you make. Somebody say amen. Amen. So here's my thesis statement. Churches, like individual Christians, have an assignment. Every last one of you have an assignment. Mama, I can't tell you how many Christians I've looked in the eyes of, and I'm looking in them right now. And I ask them, do you know your assignment? Do you know why you were born? Do you know why you're here on earth? Do you? Y'all remember when you were in school? Y'all, wait a minute. Can y'all give me 2 seconds? Brent Collier. God. That was my quarterback in high school. I didn't know that was you, man. Do you know why you were born? But everybody agrees that there is an assignment on your life, right? How many of y'all would agree on that? There's a reason you were born. You just don't know. Now, check this out. Just like in school, Ms. Lenny. She's one of the best teachers in Galena Park. I trained her, so I take credit. When you give an assignment, do they have forever to complete the assignment? Y'all, this I want you to hear this. Every time you get an assignment, the clock starts. Every time you get an assignment. And I'm going to tell you, if you were born with an assignment, you got a clock going against you. Every teacher that gave me an assignment, they always had what was called a deadline. Somebody say amen. You had a time when you had to turn that thing in. You had a time when you had to, that thing, that project had to be done. Somebody say amen. Every church has an assignment. You ever see some churches fall? They die out or they split or some churches just, you know, they disband. How many of y'all ever seen that? Right? Because sometimes their assignment is up or they didn't complete their assignment. Now, y'all, I'm under the gun with God. Y'all, we live a very prosperous life, all that. Y'all, but I'm not at ease at all. Am I at ease? I'm not at ease. I don't care how much money I got. I don't care where we can go. We went to Jamaica twice last year. It don't matter, y'all, because I know that God has planted me as a senior pastor. He's planted our church over here in Acres Home. I know he's given us an assignment, and I know the clock is ticking on that assignment. And from 1 year to the next year, we better have had something done. That's why I say thank you, God, for one more year. Do you live your life like that? From 1 year to the next, as a Christian, what have you done? What did you do last year? What did you do over the last 12 months? Come on, I don't hear nobody. Mm-hmm. When God plants a church or he plants a Christian, somewhere he expects fruit. Fruit is also called produce. Where you get fruit at in the grocery store? In the produce section. He wants you to. It's got quiet now. Now y'all acting like y'all dumb. He wants you to. He wants us to. Thank you, Lord, for another year. You know what another year was? Another chance to produce. Somebody say amen. Thank you for not cutting me off last year. Thank you for not letting our church go into bankruptcy last year. Thank you for not letting us get foreclosed on last year. Thank you for not letting somebody other than me, because it wasn't going to be me, but somebody close up in there have a bunch of scandals and stuff. Somebody say amen. Amen. What is produce? As a Christian, as a church, number one, souls. You saw our confession. 1,000 souls this year. We're going after them. We baptized over 50-something people already this year. We're going after it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. Souls. Number two, missions. 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 You ever see Mission Impossible? It always somewhere in the middle, they hear about the what? The mission. What are we going to accomplish, right? And then projects. Now I want you to see the scripture. Look at it in King James. He spoke also a parable unto them. A man had a fig tree planted in his garden, in his vineyard, and came and sought therein fruit and found none. Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I came seeking fruit. What if the last 3 years of your life as a Christian, he been seeking something? I asked a guy two days ago, because this week, y'all, in the last week, I've experienced 3 deaths. As a matter of fact, I was at a hospital on Thursday at 11 o'clock praying for somebody. By 11:28, they were gone. Some of y'all know Jerry Savelle, his funeral was Friday. Found about my friend's wife that had died last Saturday. See, y'all, people are getting out of here. What if God's been examining your life and said, for the last 3 years and ain't found none, and say, okay, we're going to go ahead, you know, and cut them off. But what if Jesus said, no, give them another year? This is what I want to answer. What if this is your year? What if this is your year to produce? What if this is your year to do something for God? What if this is your year to complete a project? So after I just, you know, the dude just died, and Jerry Savelli died, and everything. Man, so the dude that he was doing my our landscape, you know, our yard guy, he was making our yard look pretty, putting all the new flowers in and the mulch. And he make a lot of money. He rich, you know. And he always trying to see how much money I got. I said, bro, you got more money than me? And we always talking. And I started talking to him. I said, Edward, man, I said, look, bro. I said, well, how many cars? I said, we got three or four Mercedes. I said, how many cars can you drive? How many houses can you live in? I said, what is life all about, man? And then I asked him, are you a Christian? You know. Hello, you know, I believe in God. You know, as soon as you get that neck, man, you know they don't know God. He trying to convince himself at that moment. I said, what do you do for God? You make all this money. What do you do for God? Well, you know, I try to live right, you know, treat everybody right. I said, you do that for you. I said, what do you do for God? I kept asking him. Well, man, I try to, you know, I go to church. I say, you go to church every Sunday? Well, but I do go to church. I say, you do that for you. You know, you came to church today, didn't do that for God. I can't hear you. You come to church for you. I can't hear nobody in here. I say, bro, what have you done for God? It got real uncomfortable. I don't care about making people uncomfortable, as you can see. Because some of y'all are uncomfortable right now by this question. And I gave him a couple of the tracks that we wrote and explained salvation to him and talked to him about Jesus. Well, Lord, I thank you for another year because you know like I know I'm not a perfect man. But I love God. Listen to what he says. He answered, say, let him alone and give him another year. But this is what I want to get to. He says, till I shall dig around it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, then well. If not, then we'll cut it down. Y'all, God is giving you another year right now. Like he gave us last year. There's two things that he's going to do. He's going to dig. For you to start producing, for us as a church to produce more than we produced this past year for this next year, number one, he says, I'm going to dig. Number one, dig. What does that mean? He's going deeper. He wants you to go deeper. He wants you to just be more than a Sunday morning saint. I can't hear nobody. He wants you to be more than a CME Christian. Y'all know a CME Christian? I'm not talking about the denomination. Christian, Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. Yeah. Some of y'all are WBF Christians. Y'all know WBF? Huh? Weddings, baby Christians, and funeral Christians. That's when you show up. You got to go deeper. Everybody say, I got to go deeper. When you go deep, when you dig, he also break up. Digging is also breaking up soil. To go digging, you got to break up soil. Sometimes you got to break up with certain people. Two amens on that. Sometimes you got to break up with your brain. Yeah. Sometimes you got to break up with wrong habits. Proclivities, fetishes, freakiness. Come on, somebody. I'm not going there today, but y'all know I can go there. When you dig, you ever had a dentist and he was like, it's okay, it's okay. And then they kept digging, and they found it. They dig to find the problem. So why am I not producing? You need to dig and find that problem. Somebody say amen. Amen. I can't hear nobody. Amen. And then he said, we're going to dig, but not only are we going to dig it, we're going to dung it. Oh, God. Do y'all know what dung is? Dung is manure, excrement, animal droppings, cow chips, feces. Whenever you're getting ready to change, whenever you're getting ready to produce more, remember Jesus said, those that are producing, I will even cut you back. I'll prune you so that you can produce more. Amen. I got a trainer at the gym. Amen. Many of them go to the same gym. Man, sometimes I want to bust that trainer in the mouth. Somebody say amen. Because it causes a lot of pain. It don't feel good. It don't feel good. Y'all, I don't cuss, but man, I say everything I can. They almost substitute cuss words. Cause sometimes, man, no, do it again, do it again, do it again. And y'all, when he dungs it, when he fertilizes it, it doesn't feel good. It don't smell good. But if I'm gonna produce more than I did last year, I gotta let God first dig it, and I gotta let him dung me. Come on, somebody. And I'm not gonna resist change. I'm gonna stop resisting change. The reason God brought you to church, do you know why he brought you here? He wants you to change. Somebody say amen. Amen. When you go to the doctor and you get a bad doctor report, what the doctor wants you to do? He wants you to what? Change. If you go to the dentist and your hair is falling out, you're not doing it right. They're going to give you some stuff and they're going to tell you to what? Change. You got to be willing to what? Change. Stop resisting change. We talked about it on Wednesday night, but here in the same fourth step, how do I change? Number one, I meditate on the word. Somebody say meditate on the word. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Oh, you got to turn YouTube off sometime. You got to turn Facebook and the gram off sometime. On it. You got to begin to speak it with your mouth. You got to begin to dream it in your heart. Somebody say amen. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Number two, as a church and individuals, we got to do the word. Everybody say do. Everybody say do. Everybody say do. You got to do. Professionals at hearing the word. We like to hear the word, and in the black church, we get excited when we can hear the word. Preach, preacher. Yes. Amen. After church, that was the best message ever. But the Bible says, do the word, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own. If you only got one more year, you ought to do the words. Somebody say amen. Number three, develop heroes and spiritual mentors, and they'll tell you those things that you have learned and received and have heard and seen in me. Do just like I did. Find a good Christian man or woman that you can pattern your life after, that just as you've learned of them, as you've received from them, as you've heard of them, you can do what they do. I think it was just a little while back, it said, when I move, you move just like that. Something like that, wasn't it? When I move, you move just like that. Paul said, follow me. Don't follow a pastor talking about I'm a sinner just like you. There's no difference between me and you. Where there's no difference between the pastor and you, why are you sitting there listening to a pastor? There ought to be a difference. A pastor ought to be an example. A first lady ought to be an example. You ought to be able to pattern your life Somebody say amen. Number four, you get the books that are spiritual. You take classes that are spiritual, and you grow thereby. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. And if you'll take that into your next year, you will grow and you will produce some fruit. Maybe God wants you to start a Bible study on your job. Oh, don't yawn on that. Maybe God wants you to go door to door in your neighborhood. Maybe God wants you to do like we did one year. Have a Christmas party. Invite all your family and friends over. Give away big screen TVs and purses. But before we do that drawing, you gotta listen to the gospel. And people got saved in her family. Why don't you take a project and do something for God? All I wanna do today is say thank you, God, for another year. We didn't do everything perfect, but thank you for giving KCOH another year, a year to buy this property, a year to come on in, a year to renovate, a year to preach the gospel, a year to go door to door, a year, hallelujah, to get people saved, a year, people got full of the Holy Ghost, a year. Thank you, Lord, for another year. We baptized people. Yes, we did. Thank you, Lord, for another year. We gave to foreign missions. Thank you, God, for another year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody in this church didn't get divorced because you gave us another year. Some of our singles, the women didn't get pregnant because you gave us another year. Two singles got together and got married because you gave us another year. We're having babies all over the place with married couples because you gave us another year. Curtis got a job because you gave us another year. She got a new kidney because you gave us another year. I want to say thank you. Thank you, God. Got my barber saved because you gave us another year. Baptized my barber 3 weeks ago because you gave me another year. Ta-ta, God. Thank you, sir, for giving me another year. I thank God that you gave me another chance to preach the gospel. You told me to tell the world that God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Somebody came on prescription drugs this year because he gave us another. I want to say thank you. Anybody in here want to say thank you for another year? You ought to lift your hands and say thank you, God. You could have cut me off last year, but thank you, I'm still here. Simon
you on your birthday. You ought to lift your hands and say, thank you, God, for another year. Thank you, God, for another year. Thank you, God, for another year.
He's running a business. And I'm going to tell you right now. He wants to know, are you going to produce? We don't know why people dying. We don't know why people getting out. He might have came to them. And couldn't find no fruit. I want to ask you today. Number one, are you born again? Are you a Christian? Are you saved, y'all? Y'all, people getting out of here so fast. I mean, it's shaking. I'm getting shook. People leaving this planet. But everybody left the planet. You know how they feel bad? Because I constantly talk to them. Do you know Jesus? Are you born again? Are you born again? Family members die. I don't feel bad. You know why I'm sorry? Because I asked them. Do you know Jesus? Do you ask your family members? Do you talk to them? That might be the first step in producing some fruit. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you say, man, I want to produce some more fruit. Let me see your hand. Come on, stand on your feet. We're going to pray. We're getting out of here. Y'all, what if he's just giving you one more year? If you say, I don't feel comfortable talking about, can you fund something? Fund something. Pastor, I heard you say you're going to do a basketball goal. I just want to, let me pay for the basketball goal. That's a project. What are you doing for God? Every year, by every year.